All right, folks. Good to be here. We are going to be studying something this morning that is going to change you. You're not going to be the same when you leave this building. You're not going to be the same. As I wasn't when I got through with it, so it's surely it will bring, it will awaken some people. Some it won't. Some it'll fly across the top of their head in one ear and out the other. But a lot of people it will awaken. Father, in thy name we pray. Give me wisdom, Holy One, the gift of teaching. Our Father, I pray that you prepare the hearts of the people to receive your word and the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now turn to Revelation chapter number 13. A lot of folks make fun of it and light of it, but numerology in the Bible is a very important thing. Very important. Numbers are very important. God, throughout the Scripture, draws your attention to the number of the day or the number of days involved in such an act, or from the point here to that point, the number of days or the number of years. Prophecy is bound up in years and days. In Revelation chapter number 13, verse 11, in the occult world, the number 11 is a very important number, and multiples of it. And we're going to get into that occult numerology, not today, but we will get into that to show you the Luciferian religion, and I'm going to get into that, but not today. And I think on Wednesday night we mentioned Albert Pike, and he was a pure Luciferian. He's a believer, worshiper of Lucifer. And I'm going to show you what the Bible says about Lucifer, what the Luciferians believe about Lucifer, and the contrast between the two. But this morning I want you to look at verse number 11, Revelation chapter number 13. The Scripture says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. That word deceive, just do a survey on your own, a general survey of the end time, and the word deception or deceive, and it's going to show up over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's the age of deception. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, now watch this, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now look at this. No man might buy nor sell save he that had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Now the Scripture says here, all that dwell on the earth shall wonder at him, at the beast, and at the power of the beast. And there would be many who would say, well, you know, when this was written in 90 AD, how in the world could it have such far-reaching effect? How can, you know, at that time, up until the Industrial Revolution, most people lived out their lives and died within a 5 to 10 mile, maybe 20 at the most, circumference or area of where they were born. They didn't travel like we travel today. They didn't have jets and all that. And so, you know, the world to them was a much smaller world than it is to us. Our world is immensely larger than their world. And but the Bible in Revelation 13 keeps talking about how that the whole world, all that dwell on the earth, the whole world, and it's not talking about some localized community, it's talking about everybody. In order to do that, they must have immense power and the ability to do it. And of course, the Scripture foresaw that. The Bible's the Word of God. Now I'm going to give you this morning 10 ways that we are being tracked, traced, and databased right now. 10 ways. And some of this will make the hair curl up on the back of your neck. 10 ways. Not just one or two, but 10. And you are being watched. You're being tracked. As a matter of fact, today at the Super Bowl, out in wherever it is, where is it, Houston? Dallas, Super Bowl in Dallas. You may not know this, but there is an enormous amount of surveillance and security attached to that football game today. And what it is a precursor of the police state that's coming to America. This is nothing but a sporting event. They're just going to play a game. But you would believe that the heads of state from all over the world are meeting in Dallas, Texas, the president and prime ministers and kings and queens and what have you. It's just a bunch of guys out there playing football. But the surveillance that's going on right now out there and has been in preparation for that football game would blow your mind. They have ISIS there, robots, choppers, fighters, bomb dogs, TSA screening, full pat-downs. This is the number one sporting event of the land. Federal agents and Miami-Dade police and all kinds of other agencies are involved. They say that everyone who enters that football stadium will have a pat-down. They're going to check every person. That you can't even go to a ball game without being... you know what's happened recently in the airports? How that people have been... The searches, not just pat-down. They're groping in the airports. You know, and people are... They're suing them now for all that's going on. And all of this, of course, is under the guise to make it safer for you, to make it safer so you can travel. All right, now here are the 10 ways that they're tracking you. Number one is through GPS, global positioning chips. They're appearing in everything from U.S. passports, cell phones, and cars. The most common uses include tracking employees and for all forms of private investigation. Apple recently announced that they're collecting the precise location of iPhone users via GPS for public viewing in addition to spying on users in other ways. That's global positioning. And a lot of people have them today. They are tracking you through the global positioning satellite system. They're tracking where you're going. Now, I don't have one. I could probably have used it a time or two. I get lost every time I get in certain cities, but I don't have one. And a lot of you do have one. And a lot of them come built into cars. Well, just make a note of it that they're tracking. They can track you through the GPS. The Internet. Internet browsers are recording your every move, forming detailed cookies on your activities. Every time I log onto the Internet, makes no difference where I go, they're advertising something that sells in Knoxville, Tennessee. The reason they do that is because they know I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee. They put a cookie on your computer. A cookie is simply a way that they mark your computer in a certain location. That's what that means. So they put cookies, your activities. The NSA has been exposed as having cookies on their site that don't expire till 2035. Major search engines know where you surfed last summer. And online purchases are databases, supposedly for advertising, customer service uses. IP addresses are collected and even made public. IP stands for Internet Protocol. That's your mailbox. That's your address. Wherever you log, whenever time you log onto the computer, if you look into the actual networking, you'll see an IP address. That's assigned to you by the Comcast or whoever you have it with, unless you have a static IP. In that case, it stays the same. So an IP address means that they know how to, they can track you. They go back to where you are. And controversial websites can be flagged internally by government sites, as well as rerouting all traffic to block sites. Egypt shut down the Internet. And that's the first time that has ever been done. And it raised red flags everywhere. You could not get out of Egypt. They completely shut off the Internet. That's something, isn't it? Obama has just recently asked for the power to do the same thing right here in the United States. Shut it down. It has now been fully admitted that social networks provide no privacy to users while technologies advance for real-time social network monitoring. What's that? That's Facebook, MySpace, and the rest of them. The Cybersecurity Act attempts to legalize the collection and exploitation of your personal information. Apple's iPhone also has been browsing data recorded and stored. All of this despite the overwhelming opposition to cyber surveillance by citizens. I have never met anybody yet that's happy about these traffic cameras, have you? And if you knew how they were spying on you, you wouldn't be happy about that either. Because it's going to get into it here in a minute when I begin to continue to read this. The Internet, now a lot of people don't have the Internet. They don't have any use for the Internet. That's fine. I wouldn't try to get you on if you don't have one. But if you do have it, just be made aware of the fact that every time you log on to the web, they're logging on to you. They know who you are and where you are. RFID, radio frequency ID. Forget your credit cards, which are meticulously tracked, or the membership cards for things so insignificant as movie rentals, which require your social security number. Everyone has Costco, CVS, grocery chain cards, and a wallet or purse full of many more. RFID proximity cards take tracking to a new level in uses ranging from loyalty cards, student ID, physical access, and computer network access. Latest developments include an RFID powder developed by Hitachi, for which the multitude of uses are endless, perhaps including tracking hard currency so we don't even keep cash undetected. What is an RFID chip? Radio frequency. A lot of people think the radio died. Everything you, if you didn't have radio frequencies right now, you couldn't live, not in this world. Radio frequency ID. There's a signal that it sends out, and it can be detected, monitored, and traced. They have chips now, radio frequency ID chips, that are smaller than a human hair. That means that it can be put on the money that they give you. It can be put on something you buy. It can be sprinkled over places here and there, and they can monitor you in ways that you never imagined possible. You say, well, the government wouldn't do it if it's not lawful. You believe that? Rich men write the laws, not poor men. Rich men write the laws that benefit rich men. The sooner you learn that, the better off you are. Rich men write the laws. Who got bailed out on Wall Street with your money? Rich men. Who got paid millions and millions of dollars in bonuses when the country was going into a deep recession? Rich men, from your tax dollars. That's who got the money. And they want to do it again, too, by the way. That's coming again. But this RFID powder developed by Hitachi, now this is scary. Because you can't, you know, most people don't have, when you get up in my age, something that's smaller than a human hair, forget me. If I don't have glasses or something on, I'm not going to see it. So they can put that all over me, and I'd be walking around not having a clue what had just happened. And that's what's coming. This is the ability of them to not only track you, but to communicate with where you are. Traffic cameras. License plate recognition been used to remotely automate duties of the traffic police in the United States, but have been proven to have dual use in England, such as to mark activists under the Terrorism Act. Perhaps the most common use will be to raise money, and that's what it's all about, and shore up budget deficits via traffic violations, but uses may descend to such Big Brother tactics as monitors telling pedestrians not to litter, as talking cameras already do in the UK. In other words, you'd be walking down the street and you inadvertently or shouldn't throw something on the pavement, and when you do, a camera sees you do it, it's going to say, pick that up. How would you like it? There's nobody there. It's just a camera watching every move you make. What they're doing is conditioning you and preparing you for the world that's coming where they're going to watch every move you make. By the way, every study that's ever been done on traffic cameras has proven without question that rear-end collisions skyrocket everywhere traffic cameras are located. People see the thing, and they see it begin to change, and they slam their brakes on, and the guy behind them is texting or, you know, talking to somebody on the phone, dialing, looking over here. First thing you know, he rams right into your car. Just like that woman the other day, somewhere out in West Knoxville. She was half drunk and texting. That's pretty bad. Guess what happened to her? She ran off the road and ran into somebody's house. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Out of the 10, the first 7 I already owned.
You already owned.
And it profiled me and knew exactly what we wanted. I couldn't believe it.
That's where we're headed right now. We're headed for profiling.
Yeah.
Right here. Profiling. Computer cameras and microphones. The fact that laptops, and of course the camera on the laptop, is so you can talk on the internet. How many's ever heard of Skype? How many's never heard of Skype? A lot of you haven't. Skype is a program you can get on the internet where if you have a camera hooked up, you can look into the camera. If the person on the other end has a camera, say they're in Hong Kong, you can talk to them and visibly see each other. That's over the internet, all right? The camera maybe sound like there's not a problem. But the fact that laptops contributed by taxpayers spied on public school children. The Philadelphia school system gave children laptops to take home to do their work with. The kids took the laptops home, all right? Now, where's the most common place that a child will take a laptop? Into where? In their bedroom. And they could look into the bedroom through that little camera on the laptop. And of course it's fixed, but whatever it may be fixed on a very compromising place. Now, who likes that idea? Now, what you're dealing here with, this is nothing but a school system. To take that kind of liberty, all right, say, well, it would only be the teacher or those responsible looking. Oh, yeah? Well, what if the janitor happens to walk by and the teacher stepped out for something and looks in here and sees your 16, 17-year-old daughter walking around in her bedroom with a laptop camera pointed in there? What about that? Whatever happened to privacy? That's what we're talking about. But here's the point. The point is not that they can do it. They can do it. The point is that they do it. The point is that they feel like that they have that kind of authority now, that they've conditioned you to the point to where you will accept that kind of surveillance, that they're going to watch you. That's an amazing thing to me. They have admitted to working with NSA. I guess that stands for the National Security Agency. The premier surveillance network in the world. Private communication companies also been exposed routing communications to the NSA. Now, keyword tools, typed and spoken, link to the global security matrix. We're going to come up to words in just a moment. So what's that mean? That means certain buzzwords. In plain words, if you say a certain word, you immediately come under suspicion. And once you come under suspicion, they can surveil you 24/7. They can watch every move you make, listen to everything you say. Now, if he's going to cause everybody that buys or sells, and everybody buys or sells, because today nobody grows their own food. Oh, some of you have gardens, but you don't, you know, most people today don't have gardens. And used to, say, 50, 75 years ago, enough farmers in this country, my goodness, man, I mean, we had thousands of farmers in this country raising food. Do you realize now that it's fallen into the hands of a few huge conglomerates that control the production of food? Then all you have to do is control that one that controls the production of food, and you can't even get something to eat. The government can not only shut down your movement, it can shut down your food. Public sound surveillance. This technology has come a long way from the only being able to detect gunshots in public areas to now listening to whispers for dangerous keywords. This technology has been launched in Europe to monitor conversations to detect verbal aggression in public places. Joseph Goebbels would love to have had that. He was the head of the Gestapo under Adolf Hitler. Nazi Germany was a horrible place to live when Hitler came in power. But the Germans in Nazi Germany never imagined the kind of surveillance technology that they have today. Not even 20 years ago did they imagine that. We're talking about whispers. We're saying that if you're standing in a public place where you work, restaurant, buying food, and your voice is being detected to a whisper, and you say a certain word, say a certain thing like this preacher is here on the internet, blasting it right out into this microphone, broadcasting on the internet, you know, you reckon they're listening? But the bottom line is, if you say a certain word, immediately they're going to put you on a list. And once you're on that list, then they can make your life hard. They can make your life real hard. Public sound surveillance, verbal aggression. Sound intelligence is the manufacturer of technology to analyze speech. Their website touts how it can easily be integrated into other systems. Biometrics. The most popular biometric authentication scheme employed for the last few years has been iris recognition. The main applications are entry control, ATMs, and government programs. Recently, network companies and governments have utilized biometric authentication, including fingerprint analysis, iris recognition, voice recognition, or combinations of these for use in national identification cards. They're going to give you a card. You're going to get a card. It's going to be the only reason we don't have one now is because the people that believe in their freedoms and security, and it's not church people. Let me say this. When you come to the church websites, they are totally oblivious to what I'm talking about. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. The average church in America, today, the only thing the average church in America has on their mind is how big their screen's going to be this afternoon when this evening when they play the Super Bowl. That's all they care about. Most of the people in this country that are watching out for freedoms and this kind of technology are private individuals and private groups, secular groups. This information I did not get off of a religious website. This came from a secular website. Isn't that sad? Where the Bible said watch. The scripture says we're the ones who should be watching. If somebody wants to know what's going on today, they should be able to go into the church house and find out. Not to a secular organization, but I'm indebted to these people for their research. This is sad, folks. DNA. I've been around long enough to know there was a time where there was no knowledge of DNA. Now, this thing's scary. DNA, it's that double spiral helix. What do they call it? Double spiral. It's the code of life. It's how your body's coded. Deoxyribonucleic acid is what DNA is. Blood from babies has been taken for all people under the age of 38. Okay? Now, I'm going to take a little time and authenticate that. But all they have to do is prick the little baby's, and they do. I mean, the blood's taken. All they have to do is keep it. And they have a blood sample of a child, all right? They have that child's DNA. All right. Now, you can see where that could be used for a good thing, can't you? But you can also see where it could be used for a bad thing. DNA. Nobody in the world has your DNA. You have yours. That's your specific identity. Not exactly like yours. Yes, sir. Right.
They can do that with
Right. They can tell from DNA. They can tell from DNA. They can tell. Yes, sir. Well, this goes into a DNA data bank. See, what we're talking about here is a record of your DNA. Now, they may have had your blood from all the way back to the time. But see, when we were born, they didn't know anything about DNA. When I was born, they were just discovering the transistor. And I mean, they've come a long way since then. From vacuum tubes to the transistor, that was a big move. That took your radio from being this big down to that big. And then printed circuits came along and all the rest of it. And people take for granted all the electronic technology you got today, but folks, that stuff didn't just happen overnight. DNA, blood from babies, has been taken for all people under the age of 38. In England, DNA was sent to secret databases from routine heel prick tests. Why a secret database? Several reports have revealed covert Pentagon databases of DNA for terrorists, and now DNA from all American citizens is databased. Okay? They got your identity. That's one thing identity theft cannot steal. He can't steal your DNA. But they've got you. In plainer words, if they have your DNA, if the American government has your DNA databased, then all they have to do is find any piece of skin or whatever they can get a DNA analysis from on anything, and they can mark it and say, well, you were here, you did this, or whatever it may relate to. They can track you. Now listen to this one. This is amazing. Digital DNA is now being used as well to combat hackers. What's digital DNA? Isn't that amazing? I thought, I've never heard of that before, so I looked it up. How many's ever heard of digital DNA? All right, a couple of you have. All right. Here's what digital DNA is. It has to do with anything that you have ever had, all right, that is associated with you. They can mark it. They can identify it. They can give it an identity. Even to your computer or anything in your computer, they can give it an identity and connect it to you. If it's a piece of paper that you filed somewhere, it's connected to you. Now, you talk about tracking people. He says that you're not going to be able to buy or sell or eat or do anything except you take his mark. And I've heard people say, well, they'll run off into the mountains and they'll hide. And I've even preached that myself. But the thing is, you can't hide from them. If God Almighty doesn't directly intervene, which He will for the Jews in the tribulation, there's no getting away from them. They're going to know where you are at every moment of the day. You say, well, now, preacher, you know, they're not going to do anything to you. How many of you have ever read some of these exposés have been made on the CIA and some of their LSD experiments and what the federal government itself did to some of its own soldiers, some of its experiments, and some of the stuff that's going on right now? How many of you ever read about that? LSD. When I was a kid, LSD was just coming on and big back in the 60s. LSD, that hallucinogenic drug. Keep them going. Microchips. Microsoft's Health Vault and Verimed partnership is to create RFID implantable microchips. Microchips for tracking our precious pets is becoming commonplace and serves to condition us to accept putting them in our children in the future. The FDA has already approved this technology for humans and is marketing it as a medical miracle, again for our safety. And I feel safer every day. I get up in the morning and say, hallelujah, man, I'm safe. Facial recognition. You've heard of Facebook, haven't you? I'm going to start a thing called Backbook. You say, what's Backbook? Backbook is when you have, it's like Facebook, but you don't have to put your face on there. That's good. Because some of us have faces we don't want to put on there, amen? I might want to borrow somebody else's face. But Backbook to me is a whole lot better idea than Facebook. How many of you agree with that? All right. Facial recognition. Anonymity in public is over. Admittedly used at Obama's campaign events, sporting events, and most recently at the G8, G20 protest in Canada, this technology is also harvesting data from Facebook images and surely will be tied into the street traffic cameras. So what's the big deal? Let me tell you what the big deal is, all right? Let's say you get into three-dimensional face recognition, okay? It gets the full curvature of your face. That's three-dimensional. It gives the depth, three-dimensional. All right? That means that a computer can reproduce your face in space. Why is that important? He can put you, therefore, anywhere he wants to put you. Even photographs bad enough. They can put you in a photograph anywhere they want to put you. But when it comes to three-dimensional now, we're getting into scary stuff. How many of you remember a few years ago on CNN? I think it was during a presidential debate or something, that a man was standing in a newsroom and he was talking about the debate, and there he stood. And I mean, he was standing there in three-dimension. He was standing there in full dimension, but he wasn't there. Did anybody see that? I saw that. And when I saw that, I said to myself, we've come to another point here. They had projected his image. They had projected his image by the use of cameras and whatever technology was necessary. They had projected him standing in that room. And he wasn't in that room. He was 1,000 miles away, 500 miles away. So what does that mean? That means that they can create your face three-dimensionally and project you anywhere they want to put you, and then take that into a court of law and swear you were there and convict you and send you away. That's what they can do. They can take your computer, if they can put cookies on your computer, now I got to tell folks this, you got to understand this. If they can put cookies on your computer and they can put whatever they want to on their computer, they can put pornography on your computer. And if they want to frame you and run you down the river, they can put child pornography on your computer, and then they can take that into a court of law and carry that computer in there and say, now here, judge, here's the computer, here's the proof that so-and-so was into child pornography, and it's on your computer. And you, how are you going to explain it? And it got there over the internet. You're in a time in this world when you can't believe what you see, what you hear. You can't believe it anymore. That's deception. Yes, sir.
It's already been done by the pedophiles in this world where they've taken their
they're doing it now. I'm glad you brought that up.
And yeah, I think about 7 or 8 people in this country have been convicted of. I think they found out that it was just a...
Let me explain what he's talking about. A pervert, he used the scientific term pedophile. Pedagogue in Greek is a child, phile is love of a child, okay? But that's a term created in a laboratory. He can take child pornography, put it on your computer, and then he can log on to your computer and watch his pornography and never have it on his. And then, therefore, If he was raided, it wouldn't be on his computer, but your computer would be loaded with it. And he said they've already convicted 7 or 8 for that. Now that's high tech. Now not just the average pervert knows how to do that. That's high tech. You have to really know what you're doing to be able to download something and put it on somebody else's computer. But it's the capability's there. So you can't believe anymore. Who can you trust and who can you believe? Well, that's exactly what the Antichrist wants. Yes.
Identify you through face recognition. They use a point system that measures the nose, certain parts of the face to...
You'd think that they'd be able to put a radio signal through that. I mean, you right now, you don't have any idea, but right now you've got thousands and thousands of radio signals flying right through your body. They don't go around you. They go right through you. And television signals. I mean, all you have to do is have a tuner. If you had a tuner plugged into you, just turn it on and you could broadcast radio all day long. You ever thought about that? Oh, yeah. They send it. Radio signal goes out at at different frequencies and different strengths. And that's here. That's now. Yes, sir. Yeah. China hacked into the Pentagon also not too long ago and put a bunch of viruses on their computer in the Pentagon just to let them know they could do it. Yes, sir, they sure did. No doubt about it. All right. Microchips, facial recognition. This is all technology that's here today, not tomorrow. We're not talking about science fiction. This is here now. And this is leading to predictive behavior technology. Now, this is the real scary thing about it. Predictive behavior technology. It's not enough to have log charted where you've been. The surveillance state wants to know where we are going through psychological profiling. It has been marketed for such uses as blocking hackers. Things seem to have advanced to a point where a truly scientific Orwellian world is at hand. It is estimated that computers know to a 93% accuracy where you will be before you make your first move. Nanotech is slated to play a big role in going even further, as scientists are using nanoparticles to directly influence behavior and decision making. Now, what's that? What's nanotech? That's another thing that, you know, it's not in the common usage in your language. It's the small world. You take a computer chip. If you look in your computer, you look in the motherboard on your computer, you'll see what's called a CPU. All right. The last time I looked at a CPU, is about that big, then a huge cooling thing on top of it, all right? But nanotech means that it can do the same thing on a much smaller scale. It's a miniature world. It's a microscopic world, okay? Nanotech means to reduce it to a microscopic world. It means I can implant something on you. You could be breathing something into your lungs. You could be subjected to this stuff and have no idea, yet you are completely vulnerable to it. And this predictive behavior means that they can watch you and monitor your behavior for a certain period of time. They can pretty well tell where you plan to be at such and such a time, or where you're going to go and what you're going to do. That's a way to track people and control people. Because if they can put within you something that could affect your very mind, your brain. The Bible says he causeth all to receive a mark. Do you notice that text? He didn't say he demanded. See, if I demand for you to do something, you have to obey the demand. But if I cause you to do something, I've taken your ability to respond away. I'm the one literally controlling you as a robot. He causeth all, both small and great, to receive a mark. You say, well, this is the wildest stuff I've ever heard. This is not the future, folks. This is today. Listen, the reason I believe the Lord could come back today is because it's all here today. I believe everything's ready. Now, there's a lot of other elements involved. What I've given you this morning is the technological aspect of it. I'm trying to show you how, that without question, the technology is here for the Antichrist to step out and take control. Now, a lot of other elements have to be in play. If you notice what's happening in Egypt, what's going on in Egypt, all right? They overthrow Hosni Mubarak, all right? That's for public consumption, all right? He's been the dictator for 30 years, as every other Arab country is, okay? These people do not have any of the freedoms that you enjoy. They live under a dictatorship, an iron hand. Islam is like that. That's the way the world of Islam operates. Islam is a problem for the Antichrist. He must neutralize its power. So what has he done? We have declared war on terror. Okay? What is it war on? Is it war on terror? That's political correctness. What's the war on? It's on Islam. It's on, as they say, Islamic extremist. What's an Islamic extremist? Let me tell you what an Islamic extremist is. He's a fundamental, Quran-believing, Allah-worshipping follower of the Prophet Muhammad. That's what he is. It's not like it's some small group of terrorists over here operating that are so different from the mainline Muslim. Don't ever let the government preach that stuff to you. Muhammad is their prophet. Their Quran tells them that either convert you or kill you. That's what the Quran says. Did you know if the Holy Bible said things like that, that they'd be preaching it every day on CBS, NBC, and ABC? Did you know that? If the Word of God said anything like the Quran does about the proselytizing, about how that you convert people, well, my goodness, man, you wouldn't believe the exposure that the Bible would get. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that like the Quran does. The Quran classifies the world in two parts, those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who don't believe are classified in war, el-harb. It's war. The Quran, therefore, knows no place of peace until the infidel is converted. By the way, if you're not a believer, you're an infidel. It doesn't make any difference what the government tells you. All you have to do is get the Muslim themselves, let them tell you what the Quran says. And that's the basis of their faith, along with another book. And you know what that book is? And that book is probably the most important book to all of the Muslim. It's the Hadith. The Hadith is the book that was written by Muhammad himself as a sort of commentary on the Quran. And the average American has been brainwashed into believing that the vast majority of Muslims are peace-loving people. The vast majority of Muslims are like the vast majority of Christians. They just want to get along and maintain their comfort zone and do the best they can. But when they're called upon by their religion to stand for their religion, they will wipe you from the face of the earth. I'll give you a text. I'll give you an example of that and come to close this morning. How many's ever heard of Armenia? The country of Armenia. All right. All you have to do is talk to an Armenian. They'll fill you in on it. Any Armenian. Back in the early 1900s, Armenia turned into a battleground. It was literally a pogrom. It was a religious pogrom. The Muslims in that country overnight rose up and turned against their very neighbors that they had lived with for 30, 40, 50, worked with, lived with for decades. They turned on them. And when they turned on them, they butchered them like pigs in the street. This is a fact of history. And they did that because they were called upon to do it. They had to choose sides. You either follow the Prophet Muhammad, or we will kill you with the infidel. And so they made their choice. A good record of that is The Silence of God by Sir Robert Anderson. He's got a good section in there about the Armenian slaughter. But there's a lot of information. Just type the word Armenia in there and type pogrom next to it on Google. It'll fill you in on it. Yes, sir. Okay, you're following what he's saying here? That Obama, who went to Egypt right after he was elected and got up in front of those people and told them that America was more Muslim than it was Christian, has come out now and said that he would agree with the Muslim Brotherhood being part of the new government in Egypt. That puts Hezbollah on the northern border against Israel, which is a terrorist organization, and that puts the Muslim Brotherhood on the south in Egypt against Israel, which is a terrorist organization. What does that, what do you think that's going to do? A war is coming in the Middle East like it's never been before, and somebody's got to bring peace to that war. That's where your Antichrist is going to come in. The reason the Arab dictators do not want the Muslim Brotherhood to come to power in their country is because the minute they do, they radicalize it, they turn it into a fundamentalist Muslim country, which is like Iran, and the leader becomes a puppet in the hands of the religious leaders, and they don't want that. They want to rule. We've run out of time. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll let you go. All right. Brother Crane.